How do you like your coffee? Freshly roasted? You can just smell it, can't you? Well, how would you like it brought to you? If you're passionate about your coffee, then a Passion for the Bean is for you. At a Passion for the Bean, they custom roast coffee beans from around the world when you place your order, so your coffee is guaranteed to be fresh, rich, full-bodied, and full of flavor. That's not the taste that you get from coffee beans that have been sitting on a supermarket or coffeehouse shelf for weeks. Now, to have the ultimate coffee experience delivered to your home or office, call a Passion for the Bean at 480-703-2326. That's 480-703-BEAN. A Passion for the Bean has joined forces with the American Stroke Association in the fight to end stroke. Now, you can help by purchasing an ASA signature blend, and 30% of the proceeds will go directly to the ASA. Help us put an end to stroke. The life you save may be your own. And call a Passion for the Bean today, 480-703-2326.
From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. And this is a show where each week we deal with issues dealing with mental health from a holistic perspective, which means when we're talking about the healing process, when we're talking about healing any part of our lives, we're talking about the emotional, the psychological, the physical, the spiritual, all of that, because if you're not focusing on the whole person and all aspects of who we are, then balance can't be achieved. And so as I approach it in my practice, my private practice with clients, in my own life, on this show, it's about helping people become more conscious of who they are in entirety. Who are you emotionally, what's going on physically, psychologically, spiritually, and how to identify and define this and tell the truth faster about it. And that is the core of the show, about telling the truth faster. Today's show, we're going to be talking about intimacy. Intimacy in relationships. Now, intimacy is not necessarily about having a mate as much as it is about speaking the truth in all your relationships so as to eliminate any barriers to love and understanding. And I'm going to say that again. Intimacy is not necessarily about having a mate. In other words, when we think of intimacy, we usually think of a romantic relationship, a long-term committed relationship. So it's not necessarily about having a mate. To me, intimacy is about speaking your truth in all of your relationships. In other words, having the kind of clarity about who you are and what's going on and how interactions are occurring, to be able to speak how it affects you, what asks for what you want, be able to be honest about how you're feeling in any relationship, whether it's about an honest expression of love or an honest expression of anger, and understand when you're honestly expressing your anger, you're doing so because that relationship's important enough to you so that you're not creating any walls and barriers. So if you say to someone, I'm really angry, it's said, you can start dealing with it honestly, you can deal with it up front, heal whatever the interaction calls for, and maintain the intimate connection because of telling the truth. So when we're dealing with intimacy, I have a definition that I use, and I define intimacy as an expression of our natural desire for connection. Intimacy is an expression of our natural desire for connection. As human beings, all of us desire connection. It takes all forms, And some of us have a much more satisfying result in achieving that desire for connection. And others, you know, we feel very disconnected in our work experience, in our bodies, in our lives, in our families. And it's that sense of disconnection that creates loneliness and desperation and sadness and depression and all of that dark places where I think everyone listening can really relate to, including myself. So since all of you out there can relate to this, I really expect some callers tonight. So I'm going to give you that phone number. The phone number, if you're in the Phoenix area, is 480-949-1310, as in KXAM 1310. That's 480-949-1310. Now, if you're listening outside the Phoenix area via the Internet, if you're listening online, same number, very inexpensive with today's calling plans. I've gotten calls from New York and California and a lot of other states in between. So feel free to pick up the phone. The same number, 480-949-1310. Now, my guest last week was, if you listened, was Sandra Ray. And Sandra Ray is a very old friend of mine. I've known her for 20 years. She was a significant teacher in my life. She was my rebirth trainer 20 years ago. And her workshop that she formed many years ago with Bob Malley, Mandel, and a few other people, called the Loving Relationships Training, as I explained last week, is where the title Tell the Truth Faster comes from. But the way Sandra, in her book Loving Relationships and in the trainings, they bring home very clearly that in terms of relationships, we are in relationship with everything in our lives. So when we're talking about intimacy, we have an intimate relationship with other human beings, whether it's family, whether it's a partner, a spouse, a significant other, whatever you want to call that important romantic relationship in your life, whether it's same sex or opposite sex, it doesn't matter. We have an intimate relationship with our careers. We have an intimate relationship with money. We have an intimate relationship with health. We even have an intimate relationship with our vehicles. I mean, if you could think of those terms, how many of you have a very healthy relationship with what you drive or a dysfunctional relationship with what you're driving? And you can relate to what I'm saying, you know. So their intimacy and relationship is defined across the board in terms of everything in our lives. If you look at where you live, you have an intimate relationship with where you live, whether it's a house or an apartment or whether you're living in your car. How is your surroundings significantly similar to how you relate to other people? Is there a lot of clutter? Is there a lot of mess? You know, are you so rigidly making sure everything's always in its place? Is there a lot of control around where you live? And does that also reflect in relationships you have with other people? So we're going to be talking more about all of this and a lot more. We're going to be talking about how sex is defined in relationships and how it's impacted by our ability to be honest and connect or lack of connection. But I actually have a friend in the studio tonight, and I want to introduce her. She's the person that actually got me on the radio 4 years ago. Her name is Michelle Kaur. You may have heard her show on the same station. I'll let her tell you a little bit about it. And Michelle's joining us in the studio tonight. Michelle, you there?
I'm here, Stu. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad you decided to come and join me tonight.
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Okay. I'm going to get right into it with you. When I start talking about intimacy in relationships, what gets triggered inside of you?
Nothing at
what
this
was your
time.
Reaction to what was your what'd you say?
Unfortunately, nothing at this time.
Well, then something did get triggered.
Right, exactly. That was it.
How does it feel that there's no one that you define as a significant person right now in your life? What do you say to yourself about yourself because of that?
I typically usually only think about it right about now, 7 o'clock on a Friday night, so, and the fact that it's a holiday weekend. But, you know, that's a great question. I've been thinking the entire time you've been speaking about intimacy, because I believe everything you're saying so far. But, you know, I think I intentionally keep really busy, and then that kind of keeps my mind off it. But then I have those quiet times where I wonder, you know, actually, I just had a birthday, so... you're talking about how
birthday.
We keep, thank you, how neat we keep our house and our relationships. And I've been kind of doing that. I've been putting everything in little boxes. And every time I have a birthday, I kind of go, I take a review of my entire life and say, am I in my own way? Is there something that I'm doing that I don't have these in place right now? And I've become very particular about my intimate relationships with, as you're saying, on every level, friends, female, male, you know, and of course any physical intimate relationships, which have been none. So, there we go.
Let's talk about those little boxes for a minute, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, when you said that, it's like, you know, I get visual. And so when you said, you know, I start putting everything in my house in little boxes, make sure everything's in order, when you're in a relationship with a man... Do you do the same thing in that relationship?
I don't know. I try not to be so Virgo all the time. I mean, it really is a blessing and a curse, and I
meaning controlling and.
Well, I don't think my issue.
I mean,
really
I'm not sure what Virgo
controlling.
Means.
Controlling. Well, yes, anal retentive. You have a
okay.
ability. You want to a desire to make everything better or fix. And I don't try to fix people. I don't believe that. In fact, I think I give people too much room, and that's a whole different story. But what I was talking about compartmentalizing everything in boxes is that in order to ground, in order to kind of feel safe, because the relationship is scary. It's very rewarding, but it can be scary. I mean, it's the biggest emotional roller coaster you're going to go on, aside from possibly remodeling, which I'm also doing right now. But... I kind of have my boxes, tires, whatever you want to call them. Doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. They all four tires have to be operating properly. So whether you have a Porsche or a Yugo, if all four tires don't have air, you're not going anywhere. And I kind of think those tires are your physical health and well-being, your spirituality, your relationships, and your career and finance. And so I kind of work on those three tires first. And then, well, your spare tire is always community and giving back. Somehow I've been operating on three tires and a spare, and I've kind of just thought, well, if I can just get this here and put that in a nice little box and that's all running smoothly, then I'll work on this box or this tire and get that fully operational, and then I'll go to the next tire. And then if there's room and energy left over, I'm sure some of my friends that are listening can identify with this, then I kind of open up that box. But it's been closed.
Okay, so let's talk about, I have a question actually, because let's talk about the tire that represents career, okay?
Yes.
When you look at yourself in terms of your career, what are some of the attributes that you identify in yourself that makes you so good at what you do?
Well, according to you, I'm ADD, so... I didn't take that test.
Like I said, that could be good. Yeah, okay.
Well, it is. I can multitask. I can talk usually to anyone about anything, and I can connect people. And typically I work in the media. As you mentioned, I have my own show, and I produce shows, and I've helped other people launch their own program, and I train people to do radio.
Like me.
Like you. And you're doing fabulous, I must say.
Thank you, thank you.
And if you'd like to call
I couldn't
in
have done it without you.
If you'd like to call in the Stuart Show, 480-949-1310.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, did I answer your question? I mean, I believe those are my attributes. That's what I enjoy doing.
Okay, so you're a people person. You help bring people together. You help them feel comfortable when you're doing that. You're a good networker. You're personable, and that's one of the reasons you're able to do all that. You're sincere about what you're doing when you're doing it on your job, because if you weren't, you wouldn't be able to do it well. Am I right about that?
Yes. I think so.
Okay. So things like sincerity and the integrity that you have, your ability to communicate clearly and honestly when you're dealing with people that you're working with, are you able to apply those same qualities when you're dating someone?
Yeah, I believe so. I have an ability, that's that whole blessing curse thing, to overanalyze everything to death. And I've learned some really valuable lessons the last few years, is because when I make a mistake or have a failed relationship, I analyze, what did I do? Because I don't want to repeat it. But what I've also learned is that the next package could be so completely different that I can't really apply. I can't exactly learn from my past on certain ways, because the next person's going to be totally different. And I don't necessarily
agree with that, okay? Because my experience professionally as well as personally is we tend to repeat patterns relationship after relationship until we actually get the lesson for that particular pattern.
Oh, yeah. No, so I dated the same person 3 times in different packages. I figured that part out.
Okay.
But what I didn't figure out is that when I did finally change that and I attracted the next person on that next vibrational level, but I didn't totally trust that. So okay. I kind of punished him.
It was new and unfamiliar.
Right. I was like, oh, right. This is so easy. I think I had a host that called it like rejection junkies. When things are going too smooth, you think you're missing something. So I was like, okay, I'm looking for it this time. Where are those red flags? I'm not going to miss them. And
okay.
I was always looking for them instead of just enjoying it. It was completely my fault. It was maybe one of the first times it was completely my fault. But so I've learned you can't give, 100%. Well, it has to be matched. You have to have that equal matching. And I've learned quite a bit through your help, too, about the masculine and the feminine and balancing those. Because you're asking me if I'm the same in work as I was in a relationship. Well, I used to be, and that created big problems because I didn't realize how much masculine energy I run at work and in what I do. And I don't think about it because typically I work amongst mostly men. So I never really thought that I was bringing that same energy in a relationship. And like you said, two men and two women at no time can be in a relationship together at the same time. Even gay, straight, bi, there has to be a balance of masculine, feminine. And it can swing both ways, but I was doing that. And I've been very conscious not to do that any longer, but still somehow here I am on your show tonight by myself.
Well, you're not by yourself. You're with me, and you're with all the people who are listening to all of your intimate conversation here.
Excellent.
So you're not alone. Anyway, I'm going to remind people if you want to add something to what Michelle and I are talking about, or if you have a relationship issue you would like to bring up, something that's going on, or a lesson you've learned easily or the hard way, which is an issue I want to talk to Michelle about in a minute, the number is 480-949-1310. Now, you talked about learning things the hard way. What did he say it was called? Rejection junkie?
Well, that...
Is that what he called it?
Yes, that we face so much rejection in our life. I mean, even just from a little kid, just being a little kid and hearing no, 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 no. Even if it's for our own good, we're hearing no, or we're the last person picked on the kickball team or whatever. But we get so kind of conditioned to that. And often it happens in relationships, especially around the holidays. There's so much expectation involved that we almost sabotage it first before it can sabotage us. Because if things are going really well, I mean, I was explaining to a friend of mine the other day, I'm like, we're so conditioned to not trusting anymore that if someone called you and said you just won $5,000, you probably wouldn't call them back because you're thinking, yeah, right. Like, too good to be true. No, it's kind of like guilty till proven innocent. And so I think in relationships sometimes things are going really well and you think maybe you're missing something and then you create drama because you're almost used to being in the drama and that's become your comfort zone. So almost a fear of success.
But that's actually where I was going when you were talking about the rejection junkie, because to me it's more about the drama. I think we do become too familiar with drama. And it's not just in our own lives. I think that everything we see on television and in the movies is conditioning us to do relationships with all this drama. I mean, how many soap operas or television shows would actually have a plot and any kind of character interaction if everybody just told the truth? If you notice that a commercial break or the end of a episode always occurs with something being left unsaid.
Right.
You get that? It's like, and you're screaming at the television, well, tell him it's not your baby, you know? <It's> like, tell him the truth, but if they told them the truth, then there wouldn't be anything to tune in for next week, and there wouldn't be anything to move the plot along and the conflict along. And if you think about it, whenever people in the industry are talking about a script or anything, they say, well, where's the conflict? Where's the conflict? Where's the conflict? And so we have a great, you know, what we get from TV and the movies is relationships are about conflict. And I don't believe, first of all, I don't believe that's healthy, and I don't believe that's the way it should be. You talked about trust, and I think the bottom line is we don't trust ourselves more than we don't trust other people.
I agree.
Because you said earlier that sometimes, you know, when it's so new, you tend to give people too much room.
Yes.
So am I to assume when you're giving someone, quote-unquote, too much room, that there are times when something intuitive inside you is telling you to say something, but you don't because you think it's better to give them a little bit more room?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with where and how I grew up. I grew up with my mom in Alaska, and I think it's one thing to come from a small town, but it's another to come from a severely remote small town because there is so much accountability at home, and you tend to believe that's real because you can't really escape. You know, literally, there's only so many flights in and out, you know, snow machine, mm-hmm. dog sled. So I mean, just my mom's very trusting, very open. I always assume the best of people, and that's not really the world we live in. And I'll catch these little flags, but I tune them out, or I seemingly make excuses because I can often understand where a person's coming from, whether this is a personal relationship or, you know, professional. Mm-hmm. And then something really traumatic will happen, and I'll just be so upset with myself, not even them for what they did, but like you're saying, my friend Dean asked me, do you trust yourself? I'm like, no, I don't, because I obviously can't make good decisions about friends that are, I don't want to say superficial, but I'm not having a physical intimate relationship, which is much more private. So if I can't trust myself to pick a girl as a friend, or even maybe a guy as a friend, how am I going to do that in a relationship?
Because you weren't paying attention to the red flags. You said that yourself. The red flag would show up, and then I wouldn't pay attention to it.
I can't see them until I'm already, like, you know, five flags gone. Until I'm looking back in the rearview mirror, then I'm like, oh, flag, 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 flag.
Okay, but see, I don't believe that. How old are you? You just had a birthday. How old
are you?
Are you
going to ask me my weight, too? Sorry.
No, just your age.
Okay, 36. Okay. It's out there now.
So
everyone knows.
You have 36 years of seeing red flags. You see them, and you see them when the first one comes up. Just you're not being honest with yourself at that time. It's denial. I don't want to have to deal with this. I still want to stay in the honeymoon of the newness of this relationship. I don't want to go into that. I don't want, you know, it's nice to at least have something to fantasize about for the next few months before it falls apart, right?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Okay, I mean, it's not just you. I mean, I've done it. We most of us do that. It's better to at least have a little respite from being alone, even if we know this is leading nowhere. And how many people listening out there have said that to themselves, or if you look back at past relationships, you've done that?
Is it always the forest for the trees? Because, like, my friend Harold, who might be listening, hi, Harold, if you're listening, he's so amazing. I mean, he's also Virgo, but he can look at someone and he knows their entire personality profile in seconds. And maybe there's some people he's weeded out that perhaps he shouldn't have discounted so quickly, but he's like, oh, I saw this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking, well, why didn't you say anything to me? How come everyone saw it and mm-hmm. I didn't see it? Why wasn't I paying attention?
Right. You know, it's like most of us and I put money on this, most of us within the first 15 minutes, if not within the first 5 minutes, know a lot about the person we've just met and whether or not we want to spend another 15 minutes with them or not.
Well, I know that. What the problem is, it's like reading a book. If you have the book, you know, a foot or two from you, I can read it perfectly. I can see it. I can make pretty good snap judgments, pretty good intuitive judgments about somebody. But the minute someone puts the book at the end of my nose, if they somehow get over that first concrete wall and the book's at the end of my nose, I can't see anything anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like all the words are blurred, and I'm missing everything.
So if you know that about yourself, Michelle, you take a breath, and you take a few steps back without disconnecting from the person that you're trying to get to know.
Well, that's interesting you said that. How do I not disconnect? Because that's what I've found myself doing. When I get that first little tinge, I retreat so far the other direction that I'm mm-hmm. gone.
So let's pick a name of somebody, make believe, and let's put a name on him. And I'm going to ask you to do something.
Bob.
Bob, okay. So you have met this guy named Bob, and now he's like nose to nose with you, and you're thinking you can't see anything else now because you've gotten too involved and too close. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, to an extent. I guess I'm seeing these things, but I'm discounting them because I know I keep saying Virgo and that annoys people, but when the way that I process information, whatever it is, it could be a math problem, it could be whatever, I have the ability to see everything, to see 360. So I often can't hear enough my own intuition because I've already thought about everything. I've already thought about best case, worst case. So when I'm hearing a little voice that might be in one direction or the other, I'm not sure if it was a thought or an intuitive fling. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Okay, so I want you to pretend you're sitting there with Bob right now. Okay? And I want you to say to him, okay, and when I ask you to do this, I'm just suggesting you try on the words to see if they work for you, if they resonate, and they may or they may not. I do this with clients all the time, and I try and make use of it myself in my life. You know, what would happen if you said to Bob, you know what, I have a pattern of getting too close too fast and then ruining something that potentially could be good. So I want you to know that about me. And I'd like us both to take a breath and step back a little bit and take it a little slower. Maybe not see each other every day, you know, but let's continue to make a date once or twice a week and see. I mean, to me, the whole point of a date is to find out if you want another date. So what if you just said to him, I tend to have this pattern. I don't know if I'm doing it now, but I'd like for us to be able to take a breath, take a few steps back, and really slow down the pace and get better acquainted.
I have no problem with that at all. I think that's brilliant. And my problem might be, which I heard from another one of our friends, Sue, Danny and Brinkley, is that mm-hmm. I'm too honest like that. Mm-hmm. I'm too real, I'm too honest, and I freak people out. Because
if that kind of honesty is going to freak someone out, you don't want to spend more time with them.
True.
Right?
Yeah, that just answered my question.
Because what I just said to you is one of the most unthreatening waves of saying to someone, I'm feeling something good about this, but I tend to sabotage things, so let's just step back and take it slow and get acquainted at a different pace.
Well, I tend to be so non-threatening that I end up somehow being the doormat.
Mm-hmm. But in that, what I just said, did you hear that as being a doormat or someone tactfully and lovingly taking control of the situation?
No, I'd say B.
Okay. So, again, you keep identifying yourself with words like doormat and, you know, what were some of the other words you've used so far tonight that really denigrate yourself?
Well, I seem to get taken, I don't set good boundaries.
But that what I just suggested to you is a way of setting a boundary, wasn't it?
True.
Okay. So, again, you have these beliefs about yourself that I don't set good boundaries, I tend to be a doormat, people take advantage of me because I'm too trusting. You've probably said about a dozen things that to me says you have beliefs about yourself that help you sabotage all these situations.
That's possible. So, it seems like a restating of fact, though, to me.
That's because you keep reinforcing it by repeating the same pattern over and over again. So it feels like a fact. But the truth is, remember, we looked at all of the attributes you have when you're at work and in other environments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of those attributes are things that need to be applied to a dating relationship or a more romantic relationship, aren't they?
Yes.
Which means you possess all the qualities necessary to do the dating and the romance.
So you tell me.
Tell you what?
No,
I just told you, you do possess them. You do possess those qualities because you put them to use in other environments.
Right.
And so when you come to a intimate relationship, you then switch gears as if you all of a sudden you're not Michelle anymore, but you're this other person who is insecure and unhappy and unlovable and incapable of being honest and letting somebody close that you can really enjoy and inviting a playmate into your life.
I suppose on some level that's true.
Okay. Well, on the level of what you've been telling me so far tonight, that seems true to me.
Well,
take a breath.
Okay. Well, let's see. What confuses me is that most often I don't approach people. They approach me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say it's pretty much all the time. And they seemingly have a desire to go out with me for sometimes extended period of time, months, years, weeks. And then mm-hmm. when I finally decide, okay, this is safe or something I'd like to try on, and I am real and present and that there in that space, that becomes too real for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really going in insecure or anything. I am being myself and I'm being honest and upfront, and I don't know, that doesn't seem to work.
But not if you just told me that you turn on being real after a while.
No, I would just say guarded. I'm not fake. I'm just
okay.
Highly selective. And people always, my ex thought I was multi-personality. I'm not, but I'm, yes, I have one face kind of to the world. My private self is different. I'm very outgoing mm-hmm. in virtually every sense, but I'm actually quite shy, really, when it's one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. A lot of people, I think, can relate to that. What do you want in a relationship?
Let's see. Well, I don't. A foundation of friendship, number one. Trust,
right.
Accountability.
Mm-hmm.
A partner, and I don't an equal or someone that challenges me, someone that makes me want to be better. Someone that's, secure, not emotionally, because, as you were saying, I kept attracting the same thing over and
mm-hmm.
over, the same situation over and over, and I didn't realize I was doing it, where because they were successful to some degree, whether it was financially or creatively, or they just seemed established to me and I wasn't where I wanted to be professionally, I kind of
mm-hmm.
put them on a pedestal. But I kind of got my confidence back by doing that. You know, they kind of helped me say, you can do this. I got out of radio
mm-hmm.
for a while, and I really missed it. And right when I did everything and was back, they wanted to take all that away. And I didn't realize it was an insecurity issue on their part.
On their part. Mm-hmm.
And so I know I'm difficult. I'm sure Harold's clapping right now. I don't try to be difficult, but I don't try to be complex. I actually like no drama. I like to create no drama. I like to be real easygoing. I don't like conflict. Like I think everyone can get along, and maybe that's too unrealistic.
No, everybody can get along if everybody's willing to raise their consciousness and to be more honest with one another. I tend to agree with you. That is totally within the realm of possibility and reality.
Well, Danny told me I was too honest, though. Can you be too honest, Stu? Can you divulge too much information?
That's an interesting question because I get asked that a lot. I think it depends on your motivation for the communication. And there are circumstances when it may not be appropriate to say certain things in that moment, but I don't believe that there's really such thing as too much honesty. I think I know what Daniel's talking about, but I do believe that there are circumstances that say this may not be the time or place for it, or it may not be the person. I mean, if you can say to yourself, this is not the person I can say this to, then it's not the person you want to be in relationship with.
Well, most relationships have that infatuation period. Then, the first 3 months, then my friend describes it as the disillusionment period, typically the next 3 months, and then the reconciliation. So there's the, what attracts you, what repulses you, and then the third part is, can you make those work? Do they balance out? I kind of like to skip part one because I like to get right to worst case scenario, because I already know best case. I want to know worst case, and can we make it work from there? So I'm not really one to date. I almost never date. I either end up single for a year, such as the last year, or I'm in a relationship, or I'm single for a year.
Okay. So let's look at that pattern. In fact, I had a phone call today with a new client calling to start some couples counseling. So, usually when that happens, it's because a couple's been together for a while and the communication is broken down. And communication is the main reason why most couples go in for counseling. So I asked this guy, I said, how long have you been together? This is a gay guy, and he had a boyfriend. He says, 3 months. I said, and you're living together already, right? He said, yes. And now you're seeking counseling. how many people can relate to what you just said? I'm either single or I'm already in a relationship, and that may go on for years. What if you learned how to date?
I teach me how to date. I honestly don't know, because like you were saying earlier, you kind of know in the first 5 minutes, sort of, not as a quick judgmental thing, but you kind of feel a maybe connection or you don't.
Okay. So let's talk about dating, because dating, I think, is an important part. I don't care if you're gay, straight, bisexual, or whatever.
Undecided.
Okay? Dating is an important part of growing and learning, and an important part of being a human being and learning how to be a human being in the context of relationship and in society. And like I've said over and over again, the whole point of a date is to determine if you want another date. So what's the big deal about asking someone out? So to me, dating is a time and a place where you're not making any commitments other than to have a cup of coffee or dinner with someone or a drink, whatever is comfortable for you. And very often, it'll turn out where, oh my God, we spent 4 hours and we didn't even get to dinner yet, and this is wonderful, and he's the guy for me, and all that stuff. Well, it's always exciting to get to know new things about somebody new, what they do for a living and things you relate to. But that doesn't mean this is your soulmate, and it doesn't mean you're ready to get married. All right. What it does mean is, well, this was a really nice experience, and I'd like to get to know this person better. So why don't we wait a few days and try it again? And let's not make any commitments. I mean, when you say that you're either single or in a long-term relationship, is it safe to assume as soon as you meet that person, you're getting into a long-term relationship, you're already making travel plans for 6 months from then?
No. Actually, I get accused of being non-committal in that because I try to live for the day. No,
well, then how do you define being in a relationship when you're one way or the other? How do you define all of a sudden you've met someone and now you're in this relationship?
Like, I kind of go back into that, what most men have is a cave. So when I come out of a relationship, it usually takes me a while to process it and mm-hmm. understand it, and them and myself, and you know, what did I do? Am I responsible? How can I improve this? And mm-hmm. I throw myself into work, and I can be so busy I don't have any time to think about it. And then in 6, 8, 10 months, typically a year later, I'll say, oh, I kind of like wake up and go, okay, I think I'm ready to do this again. It's almost like the universe hears me, and then I like meet someone that week, and then start dating them. I mean, yes, mm-hmm. dinner, coffee, drinks. I know it doesn't fit right for my age or this, century, but typically it's 3 or 4 months, usually, if I'm with someone before. I mean, they might spend the night and have a slumber party, but before mm-hmm. having a intimate relationship. Because
sex, you mean?
Right, there you go, sex.
Okay.
S-E-X-F-O-X.
Right.
So,
Tell the truth faster.
Right, tell the truth faster.
Call it what it is.
Yeah, so, I mean, typically it's about that long for me before I really know somebody and trust somebody, and I want to know, well, why do they want to be with me? What do they really want to mm-hmm. be with me? Are they going to want to be with me? Because I'm kind of an all or not. Well, not kind of, I am. I'm all or nothing, and that's good and that's bad. I'm very black and white, so...
Okay, but you keep saying that, and that's what we're trying to get down to, is you say I'm either single for a long period of time, or then all of a sudden I'm in a relationship for a long period of time. We're trying to get, remember the word I used at the beginning of the show is balance.
Right.
The key here is balance. And you use your work as a place to hide out in.
Yep.
And even if you have met somebody, you're not totally available to them because you still have that major commitment to work and the fundraisers you do and all this other stuff that you do. So it makes it more, you become more of a challenge to these guys. Now, the other thing was you said they're always the ones that come up and pick you,
so it,
right?
So it feels
you're
like,
not the
I
one
suppose
that,
subconsciously I'm drawing them in.
That's the point, though. Okay, and if you're drawing them in and it keeps turning out to be the same thing over and over again, then you are still dating the same guy. Because, again, you become a challenge and a project to them, from what I'm hearing.
That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't tell if they really want to... I'm not trying to be a challenge to play a game to be a challenge, but mm-hmm. I move slower than most because trust is very important to me. And, I mean, mm-hmm. I think if, you know, quite frankly, you want to get laid, it's pretty accessible out there. I don't think that's that big
right.
a challenge these days. So,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I feel like there comes a point where maybe they were chasing something so hard they forgot what they were chasing. Like, they're just mm-hmm. chasing to chase. And then when, I don't want to say they catch me, but they, I don't want to say get what they want. I'm not talking about already having sex or anything. I'm just saying mm-hmm. when they have me, whether it's emotionally or I'm fully present, it typically, it either freaks them out because maybe sometimes we go after things we say we want them, but we're not ready to get them when they arrive, or mm-hmm. maybe it really was just the chase. So can you differentiate that for me? Because I can't figure it out.
What we really want, or whether it's just the chase that we're enjoying? Is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah, essentially. I mean, because there's not a lot of challenges these days. People, you know, are intimate pretty quickly, and, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know where you go from there, but...
Okay, but let, you know, if we're looking at you in particular, you're a very attractive woman, you have a high energy level, you... invite people in because, again, that's what you're used to doing, and it's what... makes you good at what you do for a living, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even across the room, there's a light that glows from you that's going to attract anybody in the room. Now, if there are highly achieved guys, like you say most of them are, then you do become a challenge to them because highly achieved people, men or women, like a good challenge. They like to prove that they can, you know, make somebody or something happen in a way that isn't happening yet. So there are two things that I'm suggesting that you do. Number one is get really clear as to what you want to be, who you want to be in the world. And that may mean making a really detailed list on paper or on your computer, who you want to be in the world, how you want to be seen and respected in the world by professional people as well as an individual that you'd like to be in a romantic relationship with.
Put That's it on a lot paper. Of writing, Stu.
That's right. Well, because you keep saying that you go through all this stuff and then 6 months later you start thinking about it and all of a sudden it gets clear to you. I'm suggesting that you get the clarity first before going into the next one.
That sounds good.
You know? And the other thing is, what are you really looking for in a guy? You know, write a wish list. What are the qualities that you really do value in a partner and a mate? Put that on paper, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Make that wish list. Be clear. Now, both of these lists can change. As you grow, as you change, you may find certain things on the list that you're looking for in a mate may not be as important, or you may all of a sudden realize this is important. Why wasn't this on the list before? But start with a good comprehensive list. You need some clarity. Instead of just bouncing from one to the other and then after the fact having that enlightened moment that you may or may not be able to apply the next time because the person's already too close to you and you're not seeing the red flags.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, when you're going out with someone, and this is true to do even professionally and with family, make a red flag list. Stop being in denial when a red flag comes up. You're done with a date. You're home. Maybe it's 1 in the morning, and something in your gut's screaming at you and said, there was a red flag tonight. I'm going to write it down. Don't pretend it wasn't there. If that same red flag keeps showing up after every date, you need to address it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. What gets in the way of that is, I assume I may perhaps want to assume the best of people. So I'm not catching.
This
it
has
until
nothing
after.
To do with not assuming the best of people. Okay, I think it's great because everybody, I don't care who they are, even George W. has good qualities, and I wouldn't say that often about him, but. Everybody has good qualities, and it's okay to think the best of people because there is the best in everyone. Are they expressing it? Are they living it? Are they speaking it? Are they exemplifying this, embodying it in their lives? Not everybody does. Okay? But being honest with yourself about red flags that your gut is screaming at you doesn't mean you're not being a nice person and you're not thinking the best of someone. It just means that you need to pay attention to someone and keep your eyes and ears and heart open to that particular red flag in the future. If it keeps coming up, then there's probably something very real about it that needs to be addressed, either by talking to that person or by you going inside and saying, what does this feel like? Why is this so familiar? Is this something about myself that I'm picking up on? Is it a projection? Or is it really something about them that says to me, I'm not comfortable with this person because of this?
Hmm.
You have to start telling the truth about those red flags sooner than you do.
I couldn't agree
with you
more.
Not after the fact. Yeah. Okay, well, then
but
this
is
one way
to do it.
That's
when I tend to go back into the cave, though, and then
okay,
stare
but,
out
but
and
by,
observe.
But by making this list and writing it down, you can't go into the cave because you're actually getting honest about it. You're not shutting down your mind and closing your eyes or your heart. Telling the truth faster is about being honest within yourself when your intuitive sense is screaming at you. Telling the truth faster is about being honest with yourself about something. Sometimes it's not even about communicating it to someone else. It often starts with something inside yourself that you have to get honest about.
Absolutely.
About yourself.
No,
so
I agree.
You're going to do three lists.
Right.
You're
my
the
wish
first
list.
To take responsibility? You're the first to take responsibility? Is that what you said?
I usually am. I mean, I usually, when something goes wrong, what personal or professional, I do try to take a complete accountability and responsibility. Of what did I do to contribute to this? Or what is it in me? I try to always be very conscious and aware.
Right, on a professional level. I'm saying
on
you need to bring that in. On a personal level, you're not doing it when you date these guys, you're saying. You're not. You're waiting 6 months before you let yourself be accountable for something that you were aware of 6 months earlier, which is the red flag that you didn't pay attention to.
Okay.
What are you thinking right now? What are you thinking?
A whole bunch of different things. I'm thinking the show is not long enough, Stu.
We can do it again next week.
Oh, hey, I could be your guest for the next month.
Michelle, part two. What are you feeling right now? Now that we broke some tension with some humor, what are you feeling? What were you feeling just before the joke?
Like, not everything came out right. So I believe what you're saying, and it's right for how I articulated certain things. But I think I'd have to, like, start from the beginning of a story to walk you through it and then go, okay, now, you know, where does this fit? Where does that fit?
You know, off the top of my head and the bottom of my gut, I'm going to say to you, that would just be the story, okay? The content is irrelevant. The process is what you need to be looking at. The content is always going to be the same with different variations. It's the process that we're talking about. And the process that you are addressing is the fact that you don't allow yourself to keep your eyes and your heart open when red flags are there, and you're not clear as to who you really want to be in the world and who you want this partner to be in terms of characteristics. There's a lack of clarity.
I disagree with a little bit of that, because I believe I am pretty clear on a lot of that, and if that's kind of the problem why I don't seemingly date, because if I know... Mm-hmm. If I can already fast forward my brain, you know, one direction and then the other, and I kind of don't see anything, then there's kind of no point. So, because I do feel in ways I'm very clear about what I want. I want the When Harry Met Sally couch couples, you know, that have been together 25 years or more. And a very, very small percentage of our population can say that. I don't think we know what marriage or commitment means. I don't think, as you're saying, we don't communicate. That's my biggest fear, because I always try to create such a space, a safe space for people to communicate openly and honest with me. And when they don't, I'm so confused. You know, I dated someone that was a pro athlete, and he wasn't a pro athlete before I met him. He was just athlete. And, you know, when he made it to the big leagues, I could step outside of what I was feeling and say, wow, I can't imagine what it feels like to be one of the 750 top players in the world in this area. You might have to go out and experience that. Please don't embarrass me. Don't cheat on me. Don't make me look like a jackass. Oops, sorry. Beep. you know, and because I don't want that. If you need to go do this and you need to go have a girl at every stadium, let's break up or talk to me about it. Go do it so I can at least. So I'm like, I've created, I think, the pretty most, you know, safest space one could create for that person to experience what they need to experience. And then they still cheated on me. And I was like, I don't get it. How could I have been any more understanding than that?
Well, because they weren't ready and they probably weren't prepared for this success that they had, and that's the truth for a lot of athletes and media stars.
Well, that's why I knew he needed time to go out and be an idiot. So I said, hey, go do this.
So that was you setting a boundary. Did you stick to it?
I did stick to it. Unfortunately, I didn't know a lot of what happened till long after the fact, because I'm thinking, I've been open and honest, and I've made it safe that, hey, if this is something you have to experience, you're going to tell me about it first, because you're not only making emotional decisions for me, you're making physical decisions that long after you're gone, I might not be able to control.
But that's assuming he knows how to communicate all this stuff and he knows how to deal with his feelings around it all.
Again, right, I already said he's an athlete, so we already know those things don't come into play.
Okay. So, despite what you're saying to me, I still want you to do those lists.
I'm on it. I'll have my homework for you next week.
Okay. That sounds like a plan. and keep paying attention to red flags. And that has to do with intimate relationships or, you know, relationships that are romantic and relationships that are any other aspect of your life. Michelle, I really want to thank you for being so... such an open book on the show tonight, and letting my listeners learn some things through your experience and through embarrassing yourself.
Excellent. I do it on my show, too.
And that embarrassment is not going to kill somebody. And to me, that's the whole thing about being honest and telling the truth faster is it's not going to kill you. Unless you're revealing something while someone's holding a shotgun to your head that they don't want to hear. So with all that being said, I want to thank my listeners. This is Stuart Altshuler on Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM, 1310 AM in Phoenix, Arizona. I'll be back next week. I want to wish my sister-in-law, Joe, a happy birthday and Michelle a happy birthday. And thanks again, Michelle, for doing the show tonight.
Oh, thanks.
And everybody have a great Labor Day weekend.